Turn with me to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua in the Old Testament, chapter number 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we're talking about memorials, and memorials are given to us that we remember certain things. We have Memorial Day that we remember our troops. We have memorials maybe around our house. We might not call them that, but we have things that will make us remember certain things that take place in our families' lives, and we all have memorials in our minds that we can remember certain things that just trigger emotions, and those are there for our remembrance. I want us to read together this morning in Joshua chapter number 4, verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 7. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, and he whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And it came to pass over, when it passed over Jordan, that the rivers or the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Here we have the story of Israel, the people of Israel passing over Jordan, going into the promised land, that land that they had been promised some 40 years earlier. But because of their rejection and their disbelief, God had them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Those years have passed now. That generation has died that rejected the Lord. And now they're going over into the promised land, and they're crossing the River Jordan. And they are instructed to take stones out of the midst of the riverbed, carry them over, and establish a memorial, that when children would ask in the generation to come, What mean ye these by these stones? And then they could tell them the story. There are a lot of things that we forget. I have a little statistic here, and I would say my number one problem of forgetting is the number one problem listed here, forgetting names. We forget where something is. Most aggravating thing that I do is that I make sure I put something up in a place, a special place, that I will know where I can go back and get it, and then I forget where that special place is. Anybody guilty of that besides me? Boy, I'm glad to see some hands. And so we forget where we put something. We forget people's names. We forget telephone numbers. I enjoy numbers. Before I got my cell phone, I knew everybody's phone number in Grace Baptist Church. I just have an easy way of remembering numbers. And sometimes Vicki would be in the office and she'd be looking up a number. I'd say, Who are you looking up? And she'd tell me, I said, Well, here's their number. She said, How do you do that? So I don't fall in that category there, phone numbers, but phone numbers are sometimes forgotten. Now I don't know anybody's phone number because you rely on electronics, and it sort of dulls our minds, I guess. Sometimes we forget words. Sometimes we forget what was said. Many times we forget faces. We are a forgetful people. We are a people that forget so many, many different things. But we have national monuments or national memorials in our country. We have the Plymouth Rock, and it's engraved there, 1620. We have the replica of the Mayflower. You have Minutemen at Lexington, of course, there at the beginning war of our country. You have the Liberty Bell with the crack in it that rung for our liberty. These are all memorials. These are all things that we have to remember historical facts that have taken place. And as much as people would like to rewrite some history, and they are maybe rewriting some history, there are certain things given that can never be forgotten because we have the memorial to that. So there's the Liberty Bell, the Lincoln Memorial there in D.C. You have McKinley Memorial. You have the Alamo in Texas. You have Iwo Jima Memorial. And the list goes on and on. The Arizona Memorial there that I spoke of a moment ago concerning there in Hawaii. And so we have the memorials. We have all the things, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. All those things we have to make us remember and to put in our mind certain aspects of our history. And that's nationally, that's physical. But God has also given us some spiritual memorials that we are to have and that we are to remember and to be established in our life. If you would turn over to the, or back to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. The book of Exodus, chapter number 3, we have here the Lord giving us a very important memorial that we are to have in our life. And in Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 15, it says, And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you, and this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So the Lord himself has put a memorial of his name, Jehovah, his name, the Lord of Jacob, the God of Israel, and all those references to God. This is our first memorial that we have spiritually in our life. And God has said, this is my memorial unto all generations. And I'm glad from the beginning of time until right now, this time, men and women, generations of people have known the God of heaven. They have come to realize who he is. They've come to realize that he is the creator. He is the one that has given to us life, not only physically, but also spiritually, giving us salvation. And he says, this is my name, Jehovah, the Lord, and it is a memorial unto all generations. In the book of Exodus chapter 12, God told Israel that they had a memorial of certain days. He said, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Of course, the Jew has had the Sabbath day, the seventh day. That was their day of rest. That was their memorial time where they were to remember, to rest, and remembering that God created the earth and the world in 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. In the New Testament, we come over and he resurrected on that resurrection morning, and that would be what we would call the eighth day. And we call that the Lord's Day, and that's our memorial. That's our time to remember the Lord. And so God has established himself. He established his name. He's established a day that we are to remember the Lord in every aspect of life. Now, the people of Israel, they were facing an impossible task. I did a little bit of research on this morning, and this task of crossing the Jordan. I know we see the pictures, and we see even when they draw the pictures of crossing over to the Red Sea. You see the water on each side of them. They're crossing over on pretty fairly what looks like a narrow passageway. But when they crossed the River Jordan, it was at its banks swelled out because of the flood season and the time of the year that it was. And so it was when you would come up to the River Jordan, even to me and to you, if we would come up to a river, we'd say, I can't cross that. I can't go across on dry ground like the Lord has commanded me to. It's an impossible task. But when they came up to this particular place here, it was really looked like an impossible task that they had to be able to cross. If you would, in the third chapter of Joshua, just back a page where we just read, in verse number 13, we'll see that this task was certainly a hard task for them. In verse 13 of Joshua chapter number 3, it came to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, and the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Now there's the stopping of the water standing up. When the priest's feet touched the water stopped flowing and stood up on a heap. Now notice verse 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, that the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Here the Lord gives us a specific detail here that it was not just a little riverbank that they were crossing. It was not just a little stream, but Jordan, which is a river, it overflowed its banks because of the season that it was. But as soon as the priests put their feet in the brim of the water, wherever that water came back to in the flood stage, when the priests stepped into that water, here's what took place. Verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up and heaped very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zeratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the Salt Sea. Now we know the Salt Sea today as what? The Dead Sea. Failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. So now it gives you some specific details here that sometimes we overlook. You have the city of Adam, and you have the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea. I looked on a map this morning, the best I could find out, from the city of Adam to the Dead Sea was over probably 20 to 25 miles. Now, that period or that space of distance, that's how wide that it was that they crossed over on dry ground. They looked at it as an impossible task. It'd be sort of like from here to maybe Seabury, somewhere in that area. The water that had flowed, the banks was overflowed by water because of the floods. And from the city of Adam to the Dead Sea, or let's say from Seabury to Madisonville, that riverbed became a dry riverbed. And they crossed over into Jordan. Humanly speaking, that's an impossible task. I'm glad this morning I declare to the world that nothing is impossible with our God. Nothing is impossible with what the Lord tells us to do. Whether it be something physically for us, whether it be something spiritually for us, whether it be those things that He puts before us, nothing is impossible to God because He is an unstoppable God. He has His purpose and plans, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But we find that He is unstoppable in chapters 3, 7 through 10. We could read those verses. We find that God said, it will take place, it will happen. You're going to come to this place, you're going to cross over, and God, when God declares it, when God says it, you can just write it down, you can do it. when God tells you to do something personally in your spiritual life and you look and say, how in the world can I accomplish that? Just be assured that if God has told you you can, you can. God will never tell us to do something that we cannot do. Now, we may not can do it in our own power and strength, but thank the Lord He's there to help us get through all that and help us to do what He wants us to do. God will never lead us to somewhere that He will not provide for us. God will never give us a task that is impossible. It may look that way, but we can do that because our God, even impossible to us, is very possible to Him, and He will not be stopped. And so this morning, as these people of Israel, they had been wondering. Now, we have to remember now, all of these folks that have come to Jordan at this time, they never were in bondage in Egypt because that generation has died. They died in the wilderness. They died wandering. They died there because God said, because you rejected my word, you're not going over. And God says, you're going to wander until every one of you from a certain age up until you're gone. Then you cross over. So these folks, they had seen some miracles. They'd seen some great things. But they didn't know all about the bondage of Egypt. And sometimes when we don't know the past, it sort of bothers us of why we are doing what we do. The Lord now has put them to a point. Now they have to accept God or reject Him just like their forefathers did. Their forefathers came to Kadesh Barnea and they said, they sent the spies. They said, everything is just like what God said it was like. And we've got everything just like God said, but we cannot because there's giants in the land and we are just like grasshoppers to them. We cannot do what God told us to do. Now this next generation has come to the same point. God has led them to a place where they would say, we cannot do this. It's impossible for us to cross over. The river is out of its banks and it's flooded. And in their mind they could maybe would say, there's no way that we can do that. But the priest, God said, when their feet touches the water of the river, said the river's going to stand up on heap. And it's going to part, and you can go across. And you know what? They believed God, and God led them across. And as they went across, God had given Joshua their new leader now. Moses has died. He's off the scene, and Joshua has just taken over. Now he says to Joshua, he said, you take 12 men, take men out of every tribe, get you a stone out of the riverbed, out of the dry. Get it. It wasn't a little pebble. Did you notice? I like the way the Lord's always very specific in what He tells us. He said, you get those stones and put them on your shoulder. So it wasn't little rocks. It was a large stone that they carried out of the riverbed. And they come across on the other side and they set up that memorial so they could tell the story to the generations to come what the Lord had done for them. I'll tell you what, we ought to have memorials in our heart. Ought to have memorials in our life that we can tell our generation to come what God's done for us. Grace Baptist Church has a lot of stories and has a lot of things that God has helped us with, and we can tell them to our children that comes up behind us, and they can relay the message because the Lord has put memorials in our heart. So it's an impossible task, but our God is unstoppable. All the forces of wickedness and all the forces of hell, all the forces of men cannot stop God's eternal will, and He gives to us an unending memorial. The stones was there because it was something that would last. It was something that's going to be there for a while. The number of them was for all of Israel. 12 stones, all of Israel. The location is where God had promised. And this is a million had failed at that 40 years before, as we talked about. But now it becomes a most impossible time, flood stage. But there was a time on the 10th day of the first month, that's in chapter 4, verse 19, God gives them a specific time that they're to do this. And so He says, you get those stones, get them out of the river, and make a memorial. God has a purpose. I'm glad this morning that I'm not here by accident. Do you realize that? None of us are here by accident. I read something yesterday, and it sort of goes along with this. It says, no one's here by accident. We may be here by surprise, but we're not here by accident. And so this morning, we all are here under the eternal purpose of the Lord. He has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for this world. And sometimes we look at the plan and say, I cannot do that. But God has given us memorials to prove to us that we can do that. The wonderful works of God that He has given to us, the treasures of our memories that the Lord has given to us. Joshua said his last words, I have them here, I'll read them from the scripture, says, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed. Thank God this morning, not one thing hath failed. What did he say here? Of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you, all are come to pass unto you, and not one thing failed thereof. Tell you what, you can take it to the bank, as the expression is. Whatever God has promised, He has not failed. Praise the Lord this morning, He's never failed me. He's never failed you. I have failed Him. You have failed Him. But the Lord has never, never failed you and I. He has a purpose for us. The wonderful works of our God. The message that we know that not one thing. Now, if God failed in one thing, that means it's possible He might fail somewhere else. Well, it's only been one, preacher. Yeah, but He failed once. That means He might fail tomorrow. But I'm glad I can declare to you He's never failed, so I can depend on tomorrow. He will not fail. That's the purpose of the Lord that we have as a child of God. Our hearts, how true it is, our hearts are prone to forget. How many good things that we have forgot. Israel forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Psalm 78. Israel forgot all that God had done for them. I believe we can honestly, truthfully say this morning that the fiber of America has honestly forgotten the good deeds that God has given to us. The blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us. Not just Israel, but you and I. Matthew 16:9, do you not understand, neither remember? That's what He asked. That's what He asked His disciples. Do you not understand? The reason they didn't understand is because they'd forgotten some of the things that the Lord had told them to do. But I'm glad this morning I can trust Him. I'm glad you can trust Him. I'm glad we can be in our heart and our lives, our souls, we can know that He is there for us and He is there to help us through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Thank God this morning, this book that I hold before me, this Bible that you have in your lap and much of it may be hidden in your heart, we can rely upon that. We can depend upon that. Brother Gallagher mentioned this morning, the first thing that's important to the child of God is the Word of God. This message that we have, this book that we have, the promises of the Lord, praise the Lord this morning, I can trust Him. Now that's easy to say, but we sometimes have to experience, I have to trust Him. I have to know that He leads me the right direction. And by the way, this morning there's not a one of us that are in whatever predicament we might find ourselves in. We're not there by ourselves. God knows where we are. God knows our need. God knows our weaknesses. God knows my frail life. God knows my unthankful mind. God knows my heart that begins to waver sometimes when things don't go the way we think they ought to go. But I'm glad this morning that I can trust Him.
I'm glad I can rely upon him that he never makes a mistake. That he never does anything wrong. Those are some memorials that God gives us in our life. Don't be afraid. Just remember the Lord, what he has done and what he has for us. Yes, it was an impossible task, but our God's in, he doesn't stop. He gives us memorials to help us to remember. He has a purpose for our life. That's a wonderful blessing to know. God has a purpose for me. Out of 7 billion people in this world, God knows exactly where I am. God knows every fear of my soul. God knows every trouble of my heart. Out of all the many people in the world, God knows me, and he has a purpose for me. And you can put your name there. He's just as important to you as he is to me. And he knows as much about you as he knows about me. Faith guides us in times of problems, and our memorials are for generations to come. I was thinking just the other day how good our Lord has been to Grace Baptist Church and Grace Baptist School. In the midst of economic turmoil, our school continues to do well. Down through these 35 years, we have seen difficult times in the school, but God's always been there, always taking care. And these are things that help us to mentor those that follow us, that come after us, to show them that he is able, that he can do. Joshua 4, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, what mean these stones? What does it mean? Here's a little child that's playing around the riverbank, and he sees this memorial, 12 huge stones, however they were put together, we don't know. Maybe they're all laid out, maybe they stacked up, but it was a memorial. And as they would be there, they would say, Dad, what's this all about? And Dad could say, let me tell you the story when we crossed the river here and it was dry. Praise the Lord. Every one of us ought to have some stories that we can display to our children and to our grandchildren of what God has done for us, of what he has blessed us with. Question we end with this morning, what memory stones are we leaving? What are we doing? What are we leaving for the generation to come? Priorities ought to be set right. That's, I think, first priority ought to be our time to realize that God comes first. Above everything else, above anyone else, God is first. That's a priority that we ought to instill in our generation to come. The one thing that I remember more than anything else about my childhood going to church is that it just never was a question, what do we do on Sunday? It just never was a question. Because if it was Sunday, you got up and you got ready, and we drove 20 miles to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And if they happened to have, and in my mind I would say, oh, God forbid, a 2-week revival. You know where we were every night? We were at church. It didn't matter. My dad farmed. He had corn crops, he had pigs, he had cows to milk, and it did not matter. those things were done in time that we went to church. In my whole life, I never remember my family missing church for anything other than maybe a death or a sickness or something to that effect. That's a memorial in my life. That was a priority that my parents had. We just serve God. And I'm thankful for that. And praise the Lord. Our possessions. Not only our time, does God comes first, but I believe our possessions, our treasures, God comes first. By the way, everything in your bank account, everything in your wallet, everything that you own, God owns. He owns it. He has given it to us for a little while that we can enjoy life. But in reality, all the possessions that we have, it all belongs to God. So it ought to be first. The memorial stone of humility, that's our ability, our talent. Somebody said, I can't do anything. Oh, everybody can do something. I may not can do everything, but I can do something. I may not can do everything that somebody else does, but I can do what God gives me to do. Some people can play the instruments. Some people can sing. Some people can take care of the grounds that make them look immaculate. And whatever God gives me ability to do, I ought to use it for His honor and His glory. You may not be the best at what you do, but you be your best of what God gives you to do. You may be trying to compare yourself to somebody else. Don't do that. Just say, I've done the best I can of what God has given me, and so therefore I know the Lord is pleased with me because I'm available to Him. That's my humility and yours. And then our faith. That's the triumphs, the victories, and the trials. The defeats. But all those things are memorial stones that we can set up in our life that the generation to come might know that we believed in God. We're losing that all across our country. There's a generation, the Bible says, that know not the Lord. And every generation that comes up, I've lived a generation. But it's a lot worse now than it was when I was a kid. If a generation is in time frame, my generation, I'm part of that what's called the baby boomers. Right after World War II, my dad served in the Army. And so I'm of that generation, and our generation, my generation, is getting older and difficulties come health-wise and everything happens. That's generation. But when you consider time frame generation from the birth of your parent to the birth of the child is an average of 30 years. That's also considered a generation. So I have lived two generations. And I've seen the digression of this country. Some of you have lived longer than I have. And every generation we lose our priorities. We lose some of our possessions, we lose our humility, and we lose our victories. May God help us this morning to realize it may seem impossible, but if God says we can do it, we can do it. And then as we accomplish what God gives us to do in our life, we're setting up memorials for our children and grandchildren to know that there is a God in heaven. Psalm number 78 says we do all this that they may know there is a God in heaven. May the Lord help us this morning to realize Memorial Day, physically, nationally, very important, very special. But the memorials that we set up in our life are very important and very special for our children and beyond. Our grandchildren. May God help us this morning
to set those up. Let's stand together.